Boys Guide to the Galaxy podcast, the official podcast of GalacticVoyage.com. We talk about Star Wars,
fanboy style.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Welcome to Fanboys Guide to the Galaxy, the official podcast of GalacticVoyage.com. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Zasso. Eric unfortunately could not make it this week, but we've got two great guests that I'm looking forward to talking to about the episode Overlords. So our guests are Riley and Bethany from the Bothan Report. Welcome.
Well, hello, hello, everyone. Very glad to be a guest for the Clone Wars, but particularly for an episode that I'm really looking forward to discussing.
It is with great reluctance that I have accepted this calling. I love democracy. I love podcasting. Hey, everybody. Hope you're doing well.
Great. All right. So, like I said before, we're talking about Overlords this week. And let's just get right into the episode. So, it starts out with Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Ahsoka searching for a distress signal that they found out in space that hadn't been used in 2,000 years. And so, in a strange turn of events, they get sucked into some kind of, force world. And what do you guys think of that? Me, for one, I thought it was very strange, but an interesting concept. I like how this season's, sort of changed, throughout the day. What did you guys think?
I thought it was very curious how supposedly Anakin and his ship and Rex and his ship were at the same coordinates. However, they were nowhere near each other in some form or fashion because they couldn't see each other. And so, I don't know, the whole concept was interesting, and I thought the ship did look rather like a Borg ship, although slightly different shape.
No, this is a weird episode, really weird. On one hand, it really had like a hard sci-fi Star Trek element to it. Yeah, you're right. Right down to the Borg-like ship, Bethany, at the beginning, and the way our heroes get stranded on a planet, quote unquote, and have their kind of adventure slash character study, and we learn lessons. And by the way, our entire concept of the Force is completely changed. It had that kind of hard sci-fi element. But on the other hand, visually, it was a very mythological and fantastical episode. And by that I mean you had kind of your Good Witch of the East slash Galadriel in The Daughter, and you had the evil, not twin, or maybe twin, kind of like the evil twin brother, the evil dark side, and then you had Merlin the Wizard as the father. And so it kind of had a very mythological feel to it.
Definitely, yeah. So you mentioned before the son and daughter, obviously they represent, the two sides of the Force. But this episode confused me so much. And, one of the questions I had was, do these beings have an effect on, or do they reflect, some of the real world events, going on in the galaxy too? For example, the son gains more power, does the daughter lose more power, therefore causing the light side, to lose a little bit more power? Like Mace Windu says, their ability to use the Force has diminished. Do you think that, relates at all?
Well, I think Yariel Poof would disagree with you on that one, about the ability to use the Force being diminished. A little robot chicken reference, I guess. On one hand, this episode had a lot of potential. I mean, ever since we saw the previews for it, we knew it was going to be a complete game changer. It was going to address the Force. George Lucas was going to go back and readdress the concept of the balance of the Force, some of the most fundamental changes, since The Phantom Menace back in 99. Mm-hmm. And so on that level, it had a lot of potential. Think about it. If you have the son and the daughter representing the ultimate good and evil battling over the very soul of Anakin Skywalker, this is kind of what I imagined of the episode. But it's not really what we got, because there was a third party, and that was the father, who was sort of, I guess, the amoral guy. And I just I haven't really understood what the balance of the Force means. Are they saying, and they weren't really subtle about it when it comes to, I think they were kind of saying that for you have to have good and evil coexisting in some sort of balance, which what I remember about the Force is that, you know, it surrounds us and penetrates us and binds the galaxy together. Not, you know, there's a good versus evil, but they have to stay in perfect balance, and if anything falls out of balance, bad things happen. It even down to having the yin and yang symbol in the arena, it just didn't quite feel Star Wars-y to me, to be honest.
Yeah, on StarWars.com, the episode guide, it says, to quote, "The patriarch of this family, known only as the father, has spent ages maintaining the balance between his daughter, who is strong with the light side of the Force, and his son, who aligns with the dark." And so it doesn't say that they are the light side and the dark side, and that the father is the balance between them, but they align with the light side and the dark side.
Yeah, they're definitely... I think they were kind of manifestations of the light side and the dark side. But in my opinion, shouldn't we have somebody win in the end? I mean, the idea is if there's balance, well, then there shouldn't be balance because evil should be defeated. The Death Star should be blown up. The Ewoks should kill the stormtroopers. You know, that's the kind of traditional way I've always viewed it. So kind of seeing this type of concept and philosophy, I'll be honest, it did kind of rub me the wrong way. Not to say I didn't like this episode, but there were some really unusual elements for Star Wars in it.
So let's talk a little bit about the father. I kind of had this crazy idea that maybe he was sort of like the original chosen one. You know, if this really is, you know, where the Force, you know, goes to for its balance. And, you know, kind of towards the end, he mentions that he's dying and he needs someone to replace him. So that's what I kind of gathered from him, but, it's interesting. Do you think that
if that were the case, I would like to point out that obviously Anakin doesn't stay on the planet, at least not for longer than a certain relatively short amount of time. You know, as we see him in the other movies. But...
Well, I mean, that's one thing about it, is that it kind of introduces a cool concept of is the fact that Anakin left that planet and did not accept the Chosen One, is that how the Force fell out of balance in terms of, like, a complete and total dark side empire taking over the entire galaxy, and it just took a long time to get it to where it came back into balance, quote-unquote, when Darth Vader finally became Anakin Skywalker and dethroned the Emperor and saved his son. It's confusing, I'm telling you. This is a weird episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was, by the end of seeing it for the first time, I was just, my expression on my face was priceless because I was so confused.
Was it sort of the mouth halfway open, not really speaking expression?
Yeah.
That sort of matched our faces. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, balance of the Force. It's so sticky.
What does it mean?
Yeah. I mean, someone is misreading this prophecy. It's because the Jedi believe that it's to eliminate the Sith. That was the job of the Chosen One. And then, but the father believes that it's, you know, to maintain control of both sides. So, I don't know.
I think there's a lot we haven't seen yet. In the next two episodes, I believe a lot is going to be revealed in terms of secrets. You know, that's what it's called, secrets revealed. Mm-hmm. But they do lay the foundation of the idea that good and evil need to coexist. I'm just curious. Would you agree with that assessment? I mean, do you think that that's, and if so, is that a good direction for the Clone Wars to take? I'm not sure that's a message that I particularly endorse.
Hmm. Well, you know, I think that it needs, I kind of almost liked it how, you know, it was to destroy the Sith, and cause that's the whole point of Anakin's character and,
yeah,
and his redemption in the end, if the original way is how it's supposed to be, that's the redeeming moment when he finally fulfills his destiny as the chosen one.
Yeah, I always thought that Anakin did fulfill his destiny as the chosen one and brought balance to the Force when he basically killed the Emperor and redeemed himself. That's my belief, and I know it's not everyone's, but basically it seems like the Star Wars galaxy is pretty much full enough of evil as it is, if you're arguing for a balance between the light side and the dark side and not the light side winning. The galaxy is full of lots of scum and villainy, so to speak, without the Sith needing to be there to fulfill their part of the scum and villainy part of the equation. So I felt like, yeah, the Jedi always had their hands full, even without the Sith. And when the Sith came around, basically the Jedi got smashed almost out of existence. So one thing that the Father says close to the end of this episode is, "Your selfishness will haunt the galaxy." Mm-hmm. Those I thought were rather prophetic words, because Anakin felt like he wanted to have what he wanted to have, and no matter the consequences for other people, basically he allowed the galaxy to fall into darkness.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, we're treading into very, I think, familiar territory, because I have heard back in fandom, I wasn't really in it at this time, but of when the New Jedi Order, at the very end, Luke Skywalker kind of gave this grand speech in Jedi Order about there really wasn't a dark and light side, there was just the Force and the unifying Force, and it was going to engulf them, and they needed to not think of things in terms of black and white and good and evil. And that, I remember that stirred up a lot of controversy. But I mean, that was in the expanded universe. Now we have, you know, George Lucas addressing this, and he may not be specifically directing it, he may not be writing it, but we do know he's coming up with these stories. So whatever these three episodes turn out to be, whatever changes to the Force we have, we do know that they are coming from GL himself.
Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
just gotta ponder that.
Yeah.
What do you guys?
Proverbial beard.
Speaking of balance, the fortune cookie to the episode is, balance is found in the one who faces his guilt.
Mm, yes, yes.
So
balance is found in the one who faces his guilt. That's very cryptic.
Yeah, exactly what I was thinking.
I mean,
I guess Anakin feels guilty about Shmi's death in the episode. Anakin feels guilty about not being able to save people. Those emotions I thought were brought out pretty strongly in him. I thought the appearance.
It's all Obi-Wan's fault. He's holding me back.
Yeah, sort of like that. But I thought his emotions ran pretty strongly in the scene where Shmi, aka the Sun, appears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, talk about this episode. If I could just kind of do a tangent here, we saw the beginning of actual A-list celebrities in the form of Liam Neeson and original actors from the films returning, with the exception of the Clone Wars film, which had Sam Jackson in it and Christopher Lee doing the voice of almost said Saruman, Count Dooku. With the exception of the Clone Wars film, we haven't seen that happen before. So, I mean, I was so excited to see Liam Neeson, and it was a great scene. Mm-hmm. At this point, and you're right, Bethany. When Prunella August returned to Shmi, I always liked Prunella August's performance. I always thought it was a little bit underrated, especially in The Phantom Menace, where so many people accused it, wrongly or rightly, for having horrible acting. I thought Prunella August did a really good job as Shmi Skywalker. I mean, think about it, the mother of the Chosen One.
She felt really real to me in a way in The Phantom Menace because she's not a brilliant, polished, amazing woman who is always looking beautiful, even in the desert as a slave sort of a person, you know? So I felt like she had an aspect of realism to her, which is sometimes hard to get in science fiction. Or fantasy, as this episode sort of seems sometimes. But yes, I really liked the voice acting. I really enjoyed having Sam Witwer back as the son, Liam Neeson, Pernilla August, and of course, Adrian Wilkinson, who played Maris Brood in The Force Unleashed.
On the episode, if I may kind of steer us back in that direction.
Sure.
Qui-Gon scene. What was that? Was this a Force ghost? This was a bit of a controversy in fandom before the episode aired, when like a preview clip came out. Is this a Force ghost? Because if so, it's kind of surprising to see Obi-Wan, Ewan McGregor's obvious shocked face in episode 3, to see him. I mean, it's not something that bothered me a lot, but I thought it would be answered in the episode, but there wasn't a really clear answer. I had to look back at it to see if he looked like Force Ghost, because when I initially saw it, he kind of looked like the shimmery blue Force Ghosty look of Alec Guinness. But then I when I look back at the episode, it wasn't necessarily, I thought, a Force Ghost. It might have been a vision. I'm not really sure what to call it.
It may have been a vision, but if it is a Force Ghost, then perhaps Obi-Wan didn't think it was, because he's thinking, I'm on a weird planet, if it can be called a planet, where the Force runs really strongly, if it is the Force. And, you know, if I were Obi-Wan, and like he drew his lightsaber, I believe, he's not trusting anything that's going on. So I'm not certain that he would trust that it is a true Force ghost, even if it was.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I can see how I would almost believe it to be a Force ghost. But you know, there's some things that he says that, you know, kind of sounds like he's not completely a Force ghost. Cause when he says, you know, how are you here? He's like, I'm here cause you are here. So it kind of gives you the impression that he's just, you know, a part of his mind.
Yeah. A very Alec Guinness line, by the way, you know, I am here because you are here, because you are here, because I'm here.
You know,
here.
In the episode guide on StarWars.com, it says, this trilogy of episodes dives into concepts of the Force in ancient Jedi prophecy like never before, and represents an unusually deep exploration direct from George Lucas of some of the saga's biggest concepts. While there will undoubtedly be questions about how much that is experienced in the Mortis realm can be defined as, quote, real, the answers will surely depend on your own point of view.
Point of view.
Man, they love being cryptic.
Nicely done, Leland. Or Pablo, whoever wrote this up. A nice and cryptic answer.
So I think we can definitely infer that Qui-Gon is not a reflection of the sun, like the Shmi and the Ahsoka, you know, visions kind of were, or reflections.
I'm still not sure about the Ahsoka one.
There's something about those sequences in episode 2, the Tatooine sequences when they visit, that are really well done. And I especially liked her performance at Shmi's death scene. That was really when I could take Hayden Christensen very seriously as Anakin Skywalker / Darth Vader. That's when I first really saw his full potential, because he does get a lot of flack, Hayden that is, does get a lot of flack for his performance as Anakin, but whether he deserves it or not, he may deserve some of it, but in that scene, he did really well, so it really seemed reminiscent. Matt Lanter did a great job, it reminded me of that part of episode 2, and how that wound of Shmi's death is still very wide open in Anakin Skywalker. Which is good. I like it when the Clone Wars delves into significant continuity. And by that I mean, I'm alright with it if they have to make some continuity changes. It's better than not touching it at all, because the easy thing to do would be just kind of call it a completely separate timeline. Or another easy thing to do would be just kind of never touch on events in previous books or comics or even the main films, where they might be afraid that they're going to contradict themselves. But things like this, when they're bold and when they go there, I tend to like it. So, for instance, in this scene with the Shmi vision, that directly connects to not only episode 2 and that wounds, but to the whole character arc of Anakin Skywalker and Darth Vader. And it really adds yet another cool layer to that onion of the story of Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
And to mention your audio drama for Solo Sound.
Yes, solosound.net. You'll find the audio drama button right there. Plug, plug, plug.
I thought it was interesting at the beginning of the episode when they're being pulled towards the Mortis planet thing, triangle. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of in A New Hope when they're being pulled towards the Death Star and Luke says, "Why are we still moving towards it?" And Ahsoka says in this scene, "It's pulling us in." So I thought they did seem to reference a number of Star Wars things and other things as well. Like we mentioned before, it did seem to have sort of a Star Trek feel at times. But when the daughter says, "Are you the one?" to Anakin, that's very similar to The Matrix. In The Matrix, the main character is called The One, and it's his destiny to, well, I wouldn't say bring balance, but to basically save the humans from the machines.
Yeah, yeah. In contrast to Star Wars, his destiny is to wipe out the bad guys.
Yeah.
Bring balance. Sorry, but it's just something that kind of grates on me just a little bit.
Yeah,
I did not catch that, but yeah, it totally is.
Mm-hmm. When the father says to Anakin that basically being the chosen one is, quote, I think, a truth you must believe in order to fulfill your destiny, that's very similar to The Matrix as well. The main character of The Matrix can't really be the one if he doesn't find out that he's the one himself and truly believe it.
Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Another interesting thing in this episode was something that really jumped out at me was when Anakin Skywalker states in conversation with the father, when he brings up the topic of the Chosen One, Anakin says, "The Chosen One is a myth. It's not true. You know, it's an absolute falsehood that doesn't exist. I'm not the Chosen One," which we've never seen before. I'd always assumed that Anakin Skywalker had accepted his destiny to as the Chosen One. And so I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, me too.
He may have been simply lying just to put them off. I'm not sure, and I don't really think so at the time, but that's definitely a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you guys notice those Pandora rocks? I mean, like from Avatar, the floating rocks?
I knew those were going to come up.
We're not in Kansas anymore.
I thought it was cool how the seasons kept changing, like Ahsoka mentioned, and that there weren't any animals as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when it was night, I liked how, you know, everything, or at least like all the plants and other stuff, you know, glowed a bright blue. It reminded me a lot of like Tron.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
And some of the designs in the temple, you know, as well, in the monastery.
That was a cool temple.
It was.
Not to do anything against Kevin Kiner, but it would be kind of cool if Daft Punk started scoring some Clone Wars episodes.
What did you guys think about what the daughter said when she was explaining, or not explaining, being excessively cryptic to Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Ahsoka? She said, We are the beginning, the middle, and the end.
I have no idea. I think the point was to be cryptic.
Yeah.
I can't help but wonder, what is going on in George's brain? And I don't necessarily mean that in a negative way, because he's got something.
Mm-hmm. And it has me dying of curiosity.
The beginning, the middle, and the end. So,
it's kind of like the alpha and omega.
Who would be the end?
It's kind of like the alpha and the omega, only you have, like, some time in between or something as well. So, yeah, weird.
Yeah.
Also, there were echoes in their voices, like Mother Talzin's of the Night Sisters.
Huh, that could be a connection.
I'm not sure about that. It's cool, but I think they're just kind of doing it to make it sound, you know, mysterious or, you know, kind of powerful or something like that.
Yeah. Or it just could be effects, but another significant thing that this episode touched on that we haven't talked about yet is an old Ahsoka in the form of a vision. They have the animated character model now for an older Ahsoka, mm-hmm. which I thought was very interesting.
Yes. Mm. Now, I wasn't fully convinced that that was the sun, because if you kind of notice that it's transparent, the vision is transparent and, a little bit like, you know, like a ghost or a vision. So, what did you guys think? Were you convinced that that was the sun?
I don't think Ahsoka's vision was, because in Shmi's in Anakin's vision of Shmi, there's definite flashes of lightning and it transforms into an evil gargoyle looking thing. It's very obvious it's the sun. Mm-hmm. But, in this part of the episode, Ahsoka, there are no obvious hints like that. So it's also in the same area where Obi-Wan had his vision of Qui-Gon. But as I recall off the top of my head, Ahsoka's dialogue was something like, if you continue your training with him, bad things will happen.
Can play it real quick if you want me to.
Well, go right ahead.
Okay.
Cue the clip.
What concern of it is yours? I am your future, your potential. This is a trick. There is a wildness to you, young one. Seeds of the dark side planted by your master. Do you feel it?
No. He is like no other Jedi. Passionate, impulsive, but I trust him with my life.
There are many contradictions in you and in him. Be warned. You may never see your future if you remain his student. Leave this planet!
Ahsoka?
And she disappears in a poof
of
flame.
Seeds of the dark side planted by your master. Whoa. And it should be interesting. I mean, we already know before the end of this trilogy that we will see a quote-unquote dark Ahsoka. I don't think it's going to be permanent at all. As a matter of fact, I'm sure it'll be reversed. If I could just predict, it'll be reversed by the end of this very episode, or the next episode, or the next. But a seed to the dark side, that may be a hint to a larger overall picture.
Yeah, it's honestly I can't really say much right now without.
I mean, Ryan, if you were Dave, you got the brown fedora on. You're sitting in front of the screens over at Skywalker Ranch. What would you do in terms of Ahsoka's future? Now that they have a model for her. Flash forwards, or even moving much further along in the timeline, is now certainly a good possibility.
Right.
We can speculate. There's no way to know, but we can certainly speculate.
Yeah. Dave has definitely mentioned that he has invested so much, you know, time into Ahsoka's, you know, story and character that right now, I don't think that she's anything. She's not going anywhere. But in the future, probably, you know, it's all speculation right now, but probably more towards the end of the show, they might do something. It's just probably what they think is best for the character. I don't think that, judging from, you know, this episode and how they're sort of tampering with the Force a little bit, I don't think they're gonna, and, you know, not, you know, back up that theory in the movies at all. I don't think they're gonna really have necessarily a problem with explaining, you know, Ahsoka's absence in Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
Hey, I do have a quick question. When the daughter and the son fly in with the captive Obi-Wan and Ahsoka, the daughter seems just as prepared to kill Ahsoka as the son is. I mean, sorry, Obi-Wan, as the son is to kill Ahsoka. I was just wondering, how is that part of the light side?
I know that was a very scary, intimidating looking griffin, if you ask me. See that, and that goes right back to a contradiction, because I would dare say the father wasn't a neutral figure. He was very much a dark side figure, forcing Anakin to choose between Obi-Wan and Ahsoka at the climax of the episode. I mean, that's pretty dark.
Mm-hmm.
And
the same would go for the daughter even participating in this. And I hate to, I don't want to just cast a judgment and say, well, this is just a poor philosophy being introduced into the Clone Wars and it doesn't make any sense. I don't want to do that yet because we haven't seen the other two episodes, but the first impression certainly does point to a very contradictory kind of balance, Buddhism / weird philosophy, but I'm still holding out for the other two episodes to make a final judgment.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on what they're willing to do to find out if this really is the chosen one and try to keep him on the planet by breaking his guilt and, you know, attachments. So yeah, I can't really say much until we've seen the other two, but that's just, it looks like they're willing to go pretty far to make sure that he does stay on the planet.
Yeah, it does. One thing I thought was rather curious was when Anakin saves the daughter from the falling rocks and the avalanche the sun creates, she jumps up and says rather sharply, "It is forbidden to touch me." And that made me kind of curious, wondering if they have some sort of culture or if they weren't the only ones of their race or whatever for until now, or, you know, why is it forbidden to touch her and by whom?
Well, they definitely look like they come from, you know, that old era of like Tales of the Jedi, where, you know, it was very, very ancient culture, and I can definitely see that being something that was from their culture.
Yeah, basically, I'm just very curious. Here's another unexplained element. When the son asked if Anakin was really the chosen one of Obi-Wan and Ahsoka, and Obi-Wan drew his lightsaber and Ahsoka ignited her second one, so she already had her first one lit, and Obi-Wan is like, "How do you know this? You must be a Sith." And the son says, "Sith?" And then he laughs, of course. And he says, right. And then he says, "Yes and no." And I'm like, ah! Man, you guys are really enjoying being cryptic. I bet all of the Lucasfilm people are just sitting back in their chairs right now, cackling, sipping soda, eating popcorn,
definitely
watching all the different explosions on the internet take place over this episode.
Yeah, Dave Filoni sitting back in his chair going,
while holding the script to the next two episodes. That explains everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I thought it was curious that both the father and the son, probably the daughter as well, were able to forcibly deignite Anakin's, Obi-Wan's, and Ahsoka's lightsabers. And basically their power is quite extreme, but when Anakin finally seems to try, he manages to control both the daughter and the son into forcing them to release Obi-Wan and Anakin and Ahsoka.
I think it definitely can relate to maybe some of the stuff from like the Tales of the Jedi comics. You know, like Jedi like Exar Kun.
I know what you're talking about. No, I don't.
that kind of like ancient like Sith magic. I know they're not Sith, but you know what I mean, where they did rely a little bit more on about the oddities of the Force.
It's curious that they chose to allow the son and daughter to morph into basically what they're calling a griffin and a gargoyle. I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
The griffin in myth, according to Wikipedia, is typically thought to be, quote, an especially powerful, majestic creature. Griffins are known for guarding treasures and priceless possessions.
Definitely. A lot unexplained in this episode. But yeah, griffins, gargoyles, wizards, Sith but not Sith, Good Witch of the East, but not the Good Witch of the East.
Good Witch of the East, who's willing to kill Obi-Wan in the form of a griffin.
Yeah, so. Yeah, the neutral father who's willing to put the lives of everyone at risk, but we'll see in the upcoming episode and episodes.
Yes.
What on earth, as I like to say, what the Force is going on?
Yes, what the Force is going on. So next week, Ahsoka gets captured and, something happens where she wants to kill Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Here is the preview, in audio form, of course, of the next Clone Wars episode.
It's true what they say.
So basically, this is two Anakins facing each other, and one of them's real, and apparently one turns into the sun.
You are the chosen one. Join me. Together we can change the balance of the universe. My friend.
You must know, I will never join the dark side willingly.
How simple you make it. Light and dark, as if there is one without the other. Aligned, you and I can restore balance wherever we go. Peace to the universe.
By becoming a Sith. Never!
We will destroy the Sith and the Jedi.
Did you hear his voice? Sam Witwer morphing into Palpatine right at the end there. Which is, of course, apropos because he did voice Palpatine in The Force Unleashed. But I'll tell you what, I figured it out. I've got all the answers now, guys. When they say the balance of the Force, it's whatever you mean it to mean.
Okay.
Whatever guy is saying balance to the Force, I'm sure Mace Windu means wipe out all the Sith, and the sun means wipe out all the Jedi. I'm sure this is...
And the Sith, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, me.
Yeah, I mean, it's what he's saying is, it's like the old Sith, you know, persuasion, just persuasion ritual, you know, join me, together we'll rule the galaxy, we'll destroy the Sith. I mean, Dooku uses it, I think, and then Vader uses it, Palpatine uses it, so.
Yeah, and the scene where Darth Maul did that great dialogue with Obi-Wan, oh wait, no, never mind.
We have yet to see that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure we will, somewhere in the Clone Wars upcoming.
Oh, yes. And, yeah, I don't know, it makes me distrustful that the son, who, quote, aligns himself with the dark, which is rather like Susan Cooper's novels if you think about it. Okay, tangent, sorry. The sun, who aligns himself with the dark, is talking about the balance of the force and the role of the chosen one. It really seems like the dark side really kind of wants Anakin. I don't know. I find it rather creepy that someone who allies himself with the dark side is going after Anakin with the whole balance thing. I'm still dying of curiosity.
Yeah. And a little bit of confusion.
I'd say a lot of confusion.
All right, so that's your episode of Fanboy's Guide to the Galaxy this week. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Riley and Bethany, for coming back on the show. It's great to have you guys on.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
I really enjoyed it. Thanks for having us.
All right, where can people find you and all that you do?
Q Riley.
Well, funny you should ask, Ryan. You can find us at solosound.net. That is where our home. A network, an entire network, my friends, of Star Wars podcasts. We are, Bethany and myself, host the Bothan Report, a monthly look at the latest news. And we're a little bit late on January's episode, but it is coming, folks, it is coming. But if I may, Ryan, I'd like to make one of our big announcements on your show.
Please do.
If you haven't already heard, definitely, we are doing the first Solo Sound live show from Connuga, a local sci-fi convention in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And we will be broadcasting live along with Dark Empire Radio. It's going to be kind of a joint effort. And you can go to ustream.tv/channel/Connuga Live. Or if that's way too hard to remember, which I'm sure it is, you can rewind this. You can go to ustream.tv/Connuga. No, I'm kidding. I'm just messing with your head now. No, what you can do is follow us on Twitter. That's at Bothan Report. And that's the best way to get updates on our show and get updates for the live show, everything like that. I would really like this to be a success, so definitely tell your friends. The date is February 19th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. That's 8 a.m. Pacific. And like I say, all the details can be found if you follow us on Twitter and or find us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Bothan Report. But I think that's enough plugs for today, Ryan, but thanks for letting us do that. I really hope that folks decide to tune in, make it a success.
Great, yeah, I know I'll be tuning in, so.
All right, there's one, Bethany. There's at least one.
Okay.
All right, well, you can find us on iTunes, and you can find us on our home site, www.galacticvoyage.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/galaxyfanboy, Twitter, at Galaxy Fanboy. You can email us at galaxyfanboy@yahoo.com.
Be yours. But leave, and your selfishness shall haunt you and the galaxy.
Registered trademark of Lucasfilm or the respective trademark or copyright holders. Thank you.